reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline.
Well, good morning, everyone. Now, I'm a bit upset because no one was panicked enough when they saw a fire up on the stage this morning. No one's still panicked, I've just said it, but no one's panicked, that's fine. Arthur did mention it to me and he was worried a little bit, but I think he was okay, he was settled. But no, as we are going through this series of Lest We Forget, we wanted to help you guys to remember what it is we've been talking about, and so Tim brought in the rock from last week, and if you can't see it from back there, it looks like a rock. You can have a look at that later. And then, so I thought, well, while we're kind of going along those lines, I thought I'd bring in some sticks. And I thought it would have been great to actually light a fire while I'm doing the sermon. And then I started to think of all those people who might not be too excited about that. And then I'm sure I would be one of those people once I actually lit it and realised that was a really silly idea. So instead we've got some, what is it, Penny? Tissue paper. It's tissue paper. Meant to look like a fire. Sorry some of you can't see it because I'm standing in the road. But we are looking at this passage this morning which talks about fanning into flame. It's talking about faith when Paul is writing to Timothy. Before we go into that though, I wanted to share a story with you because I probably don't share these enough, and I thought, well, this morning's a decent chance to do that. But a lot of you are probably wondering, and many times I wonder, what on earth we did buying a bomby old ute, rusting it all up with silly spray rust stuff and putting stickers on it, calling it rusty, and then putting a big Morissette Baptist logo sticker on it as well. Why the heck would we do something like that? And I tell you what, there's been times that I've driven it around and people give you that look of, why on earth did you do that? But there has been a number of times, and particularly yesterday. Yesterday we were having a pretty relaxed day, just sitting at home, and someone came and knocked on our door, couple who had been just around, pretty much just around the corner, and they picked up a pile of new pavers in the back of their trailer, and as they've come around, their tyre is just blown, rimmed straight onto the tar, and so they were in all sorts of trouble there, and they didn't really have the equipment to replace it. They had some bits and pieces, but nothing much that was really going to help. And what was interesting is that as we were in our house, they were across the road and at an angle. So there was about four or five other houses that were closer than ours. But for whatever reason, they came and knocked on our door and asked to help. They were much closer to a lot of other houses. And so I said, sure, absolutely. And of course, I had to take Lily because she heard someone ring the doorbell and had to be out there with me. So we've gone across the road and looked at what we could do. And I said, sure, I'll just go grab some tools and we'll be able to help you a bit more. And as I was going to do that, she turned around to me and she said, you know, I really didn't know whose door to knock on, but I saw that ute. And I thought, well, they must be okay. Thankfully, she was right. And so I was able to go and help with that. And even though I didn't get to talk about Jesus or anything in that place, it has been amazing to watch this bomby old ute get a reaction from people. It's really been softening people up to be able to actually talk about church or talk about anything. And so there's times where I wonder what on earth we're doing with this old ute, and then there's moments like that, which I should share with you more, that really helps understand why we do these weird things. And you know what? We're going to be talking about this morning why God calls us to do some strange and weird things sometimes. And so it kind of, I felt, fitted in this morning. And just to give you an update on how Rusty's going with his walk as a part of Morissette Baptist Church. We're going to pray and then we're going to start the sermon. Lord God, I thank you for this time we get to spend together worshipping and praising you, Lord. And I pray that now we can be continuing to worship you and praise you, and we can be opening our hearts to hear your word and then to be challenged as well. And that you'll be having ourselves ready to be renewed in our mind that we can be focusing on you once again and remembering. We do not want to forget the sacrifice you've made for us, Lord, and we do not want to forget what it means to live for you, Lord. Amen. Well, in those few verses that Kerry read out for us earlier, we get the passage from 2 Timothy, and it talks about how Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's writing to remind him of who his grandmother is and who his mother is and the faith they had. And then he talks about how he wants to fan into flame the gift of God that is within Timothy. What we first need to understand, though, is that it's not a random coincidence that Paul decides to remind Timothy of his faith, because Timothy is going through something I would never want to be a part of. So we know a bit about Timothy, and that is that he's a young man. It talks about how he's a young man, and they believe, all these commentators say, that back then you could be young into your 30s. So if you were in your 30s, you're still classified as young, and that's a very important point, because I'm now 30, and you all need to know I'm still young. And so he was a young man, and along with that, you get this idea from a few words Paul uses, like talking about not being timid and having power from God and all these sorts of things, that maybe Timothy was a bit timid. Maybe he wasn't very authoritative. And Paul talks a lot through both the letters in Timothy about being authoritative with the word of God and standing up to those people who are not following Christ and pulling people away. And you see, what Timothy was going through was really kind of scary. The more and more I've read the letters and the more and more I've thought about it, he's in a church and he's meant to be leading this church. And this church has people, it seems as if they're within the church, and then they've stolen a bunch of them away. You get the idea that a bunch of them have been stolen away by these false teachers. They're not really given names. There's a couple of names spread throughout there, but they've just classified as false teachers. These people have come in, they've probably acted just like everyone else, and then after a little while of probably gaining some people's trust, they've gone, okay, you know what? We believe in Jesus, but you know what? We want to focus on this. And so we're going to focus on this. And slowly but surely, a few people have been dragged along towards a false teaching. It might have started with Jesus, but then they wanted to acquire knowledge. And then they wanted to promote their own set of rules. It talks about people teaching that you can't get married and you can't do this and you can't do that. Well, Jesus didn't teach that at all. And so here's Timothy in a situation where he's meant to be leading a church, and at least a couple of people have come into the church and tried to steal people away. I've been really struggling with that idea, because I struggle to understand how that can happen. I can see how it could happen in a new church. Everything's a bit exciting. Community sees it happening. They come in. They hear about Jesus. They go, oh, that sounds good. And then they hear someone else say, oh, yes, and also money. Isn't money good? Money's a good thing. Let's get money. And so they focus on Jesus and money, and slowly the focus becomes more on money instead of Jesus. In a church that we have now, I tried to figure out how that would actually look, how someone could actually come in and kind of poach people away. I'm not sure exactly how that could potentially take place, except for the fact that it's already someone who's in the church, already someone who has great reputation in the church and is maybe even leading something, who knows. But that's the only way I could really see that happening in an already established church, because Paul is talking to Timothy not just about false teachers, but he's also talking about actually setting up the church. There's no deacons, they're not sure how to worship yet, there's lots of things they're trying to figure out. They're trying to actually basically start the church. So there's no great foundation in terms of having people that Timothy can go to and say, oh my gosh, these people are steering people away from Christ. What do we do here? I imagine if that was happening in our church, one of the first things Pastor Tim would be doing is going and talking to the deacons and going, all right, guys, all right, Davids, we have this scenario. Let's pray about it. Let's talk about it. Let's see how we can love these people and still lead them back to Christ. So Timothy's in a really difficult situation, and he's only young. I imagine that he'd be really stressed. I get stressed, and I'm not even leading a church. I get stressed just having a couple of kids. You're laughing at me. You go, 2 kids, that's nothing. I had 12. No? But I would be stressed. Timothy, I imagine, is quite stressed. He's trying to figure out how he is meant to grow this church, how he's meant to establish this church, and he has false teachers in the church, and maybe they've left the church by now, but they've at least been there for some amount of time, and they've been dragging people away from Christ. And Timothy, I imagine, would be desperate to bring them back. I imagine he'd be desperate to bring them back to Christ. He'd be desperate to try and help them in whatever way he can. And so he has Paul writing these 2 letters to him, encouraging him to remember his grandmother, his mother, and to fan into flame the gift of God that he has. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it would be quite odd if you were going through a major life stressful scenario and someone came up to you and said, "Hey, remember your grandma and your mum?" and just left it at that. That might be difficult to understand. That might be difficult to understand what exactly they're trying to get at. But the beautiful thing with what we know about Timothy is that his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, they were women of faith. They were women of what I seem to see of great faith. They were women who shared their faith with a boy who was growing up in what I've coined this phrase, I don't know if it's a real phrase, but a split faith family. He grew up with a mother who was a follower of Christ and a Greek father. And so you imagine it doesn't talk about whether or not his father ever starts to follow Christ, and the fact that it doesn't mention him at all leads me to wonder whether he ever did follow Christ. But we know that a lot of the Greek mythology and everything like that is quite prevalent at the time. And so you get the idea that Timothy was more than likely growing up in a split faith home. And so he would have had a bit of pull to want to be like his father, because just about every boy who grows up wants to be like their dad. And then he would have had a bit of a pull from his mother, but also his grandmother, who were faithful and knew Christ, and would have been talking to him about following in Christ. And what we see a bit here is some of Timothy's foundation. And some of you that can actually see the little flame flying down here, before you can even start a fire, a lot of you would know that you have to lie down some sort of foundation. You have to have something to actually start it. You have to have some logs or some sticks or fire starters, or if you're wanting it to go really quickly, you chuck some gasoline and petrol on there and go really fast. But I've put down there 3 logs. Because what Timothy's mother and grandmother would have been teaching him all about was not themselves as such, but instead would have been teaching him about God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Would have been teaching him about all 3 facets of that. And he would have been able to see that example in their lives. However they were living, he would have been able to see that example. He would have seen a difference between his father and his mother, and maybe his father's side of the family and his mother's side of the family. He would have been able to see a big difference in terms of how they lived their life. And so from Timothy receiving all this from his grandmother and his mother, you can see that Paul reminds him of his grandmother and mother to help him to understand, well, you know what? You saw the example of what it was to love somebody. Loving somebody is sharing your faith with them. Loving somebody is telling them the truth of the gospel. Loving them is teaching them of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's what love is. And for Timothy in this moment where he's trying to figure out how he establishes his church, and at the same time, how is he meant to love these people who are in danger of being taken away from the gospel? And how is he meant to love the enemy who is coming in with false teaching? He has seen that example in his grandmother and his mother. And I love this passage because in my own life, I got to see it. I got to see the difference of what it meant to be trying to follow my dad who doesn't know Christ, and hearing of all these great stories of what he used to do when he was a young boy in Singleton and the trouble he used to get into. And I used to think as a young boy, especially when you're growing up with 3 older sisters and no other brothers, you want to be just like dad. You want to get away from all the girly things and you want to be just like dad. But at the same time, I had this pull. I had this pull from my mother and my grandmother. My mum didn't become a Christian until some years after they were married. They already had all four kids, and it was a few years after that that she started to follow Christ. And so on my dad's side of the family, I had this great pull to basically grow up like a singleton boy, play rugby union, cricket, anything else, go to the pub, go to the golf club. All those things were seen as very good things to do. And then I had my mother's side of the family, and my mother often used to say to me, and I never really understood this as a boy, but she used to say, "Be careful wanting to grow up to be like your dad." And she didn't say that because she hated dad. She loves dad, still loves dad. But she said it because she understood the difference. She remembered what it meant living a life outside of Christ, and she knows what it is living a life inside of Christ. And so many times that I've been able to go through life, I've been able to remember my grandmother or my mother and the words they've shared to me. The worst moment and yet the best moment of my life with my grandma, she passed away just a couple months ago, and lots of people were sharing their stories of what they remembered. And the memory that I remember, I'm actually hesitant to share because it's actually quite embarrassing. And now that I'm a Christian and even working in a church, it's even more embarrassing. But the best memory of my mother was on a Saturday morning. I'd gotten home at probably 3 or 4 a.m. in the morning, and so I'd had a very long sleep. And I'm not going to tell you why I got home that late. You can figure that out. This was before I knew Christ. I was probably 19 or 20 years old. And I went to bed, slept all through probably the morning. I don't know what time I actually got up. But no one actually mentioned to me that Nan was coming on Saturday morning. Everyone failed to tell me that. And you see, when Nan was around, you kind of had to be on your best behavior. Not because she made sure of it or anything else, but you knew that if she sensed there was something that you were doing that was wrong, she was going to have a little word to you. She was going to have a little chat, make sure you're living life the right way and everything like that. The horrible thing was where my bedroom was, the living room was right next door. And so as I've woken up and still in the clothes that I was in from the night before, walked out into the lounge room, and straight away I saw my nan there, and I thought, oh man, what a horrible start to the day. I was happy to see my nan, love it a bits, but this is not how I wanted to look for my nan. And so I've walked out and I've just gone, hey nan, tried to just ignore that had actually happened. I was going to get something to eat. And so of course she came over to me while I was having something to eat, and she said, in the most loving way possible, grandmothers are amazing. And so she came up to me and she simply said, sweetie, you know you're not living the right life. And of course, me being young and knowing everything, I was like, oh yeah, I know, Nan, it's all good, not a problem. She said, no, sweetie, you really know that this is not how you're meant to be living. I've told you about God, I've told you all these things, I've told you 1,000 times, but you know this is not the right way you're meant to be living. And for whatever reason, there was still about a year or so before I became a Christian, for whatever reason, as we were remembering Nan at a funeral and everything else, that is the greatest memory I have of my Nan. Because in that moment, she was passing on, or at least attempting to, pass on to me the right way to live. And the right way to live is through Christ. And I believe that's what would have happened for Timothy. As he's growing up, trying to figure out who he's meant to be like, who he's meant to copy. Is it his dad? Is it his mum? Is it someone else he knows? His mother and his grandmother would have been sharing, hey, you know what? This is the right way to live. To have a foundation in Christ. To know who the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are. That is the right way to live. And so Timothy is reminded, and I often get reminded of my grandmother especially and my mother. And it is a beautiful thing. I wanted to encourage you this morning to not forget to pass on your faith. Whether you are a grandparent or not, or whether you're a parent or not, or just if you know people, to pass on your faith. You don't have to be able to preach the whole gospel to them. My nan actually didn't do that an awful lot, but what she would do is to ask us about how we're actually living. She was the kind of person that when she asked it, she really meant it. It wasn't just, oh, how's everything going, sweetie? It was no, how's life? What is actually happening? She showed a love towards me that I didn't understand as a young kid. And it's only since knowing Christ that I understand now that she was a great example of what it means to pass on someone's faith. And it's not just me. All my cousins talk about it. All my cousins have stories of when nanas come up to them in some of the toughest life scenarios they've been in and ask them, are they okay? How are they? Hey, you're not living life the right way. You need to get back on track with God. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to be able to pass on your faith, to be able to pass on this message of the gospel, to be able to give someone a foundation, no matter where they're actually heading in life, to be able to give someone a foundation of the Trinity of God. And I know at times it's difficult because you see your grandkids or your kids and they're just going in the wrong way and you just keep thinking, oh, but I told them when they were a little kid that this is how they're meant to live and now they're going that way. I do that with my three-year-old. I got so many more years of saying, Lily, stop doing that wrong thing. You're meant to be doing this. But I wanted to encourage you that even as they get older and older, they have a foundation. If you've told them of Christ, they have a foundation and you can continue to talk to them about that. You can continue to tell them of that. The more you remind them of it, the more they're going to be thinking about God, the more they're going to be thinking about the way they're living, the closer and closer they're going to get to an encounter with Christ that saves their lives. Timothy has a foundation. He has a foundation in Christ passed on from his grandmother and his mother. So even in this stressful, crazy time where he's trying to protect all these people from the enemy and he's trying to establish this church and he's trying to lead and be authoritative, he has a foundation. And so Paul, straight away at the beginning of chapter 2, says, remember the faith of your grandmother and your mother that has been passed down to you. And then Paul then goes on to say, and fan into flame the gift of God that has been given to you through the laying on of hands. There basically can't be a flame without first having that foundation. Or if there is a flame, it's going to be pretty quick and it's going to go out pretty quickly. The way that we can encourage people and help people and help people to grow in their faith and their spirit, whether they're in this church or not, is helping them to have an established foundation in Christ. My nan did that for me and it completely changed my life. I know that because from being with Christ, she's heard. I rang her up almost straight away when I started following Christ and told her, and she cried. When I got baptized, she was the first person that I got up to hug, and she had tears all down her eyes. Every time one of us were handing our lives over to Christ, she'd be the happiest person I've ever met in the world. And that's a beautiful thing for someone to see joy in you as you've shared your foundation in faith with them. That is a beautiful thing to be able to witness with those people. So as we have this imagery of the sticks there and the fire, it's there to help you to remember that if you're desperate to see someone's gifting in God come forth, you need to work on their foundation. We need to be sharing our faith with them. We need to be getting that out there in the most loving ways as we can. Does anyone remember the rock from last week? Does anyone remember what Tim was talking about? Tim remembers. We have an actual remembering back there. We have a remembering. We do not want to forget. We want to continue to remember. That's what this series is all about. The Lest We Forget series. Lest we forget that our words and our actions can pass on faith, can pass on the glory of God throughout the generations. Timothy would have been able to use the passing on of his faith in that church. That church's establishment would have very much been a big part of his grandmother and his mother passing on their faith through the words of Christ. And his foundation in God would have continued to grow that. As much as Paul writes to him and is his mentor and encourages him and teaches him, that all did start from someone loving him enough to share their faith. Let's pray. Father God, we are talking about something that a lot of us, I believe, would say is just so difficult to do. How do I share my faith with those people I love the most? Those people who I see are just not living the right life, who are not putting Christ first, who are always putting themselves first or something else first, who are not worshipping you. Lord, it can be so difficult when you love someone so much and all you want them to do is to know who you are. Father, I pray this morning that we can continue to be encouraged, can continue to encourage each other, that that foundation is with us, within us, and we can pass that on to those around us. And we can continue to just always be giving the glory to you, to be sharing from our love towards you that first came from you, so that all those around us may know the truth of who you are and may have a faith passed down through the generations. Amen.